And from the New Testament, we continue our readings in the book of James this day. Today, two selections from James chapter 1, sort of the backdrop for our theme of preaching these past 4 or 5 weeks. And then from James chapter 3, listen to these words, which are for us this day, the living word of our Lord and our God. From James 1, beginning at verse 17. Every generous act of giving, with every perfect gift, is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In fulfillment of his own purpose, he gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we could become a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So you must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, for your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. And then these words from James chapter 3. Who is wise and understanding among you? Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness born of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be boastful and false to the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and devilish. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. A harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. These words from the book of James and from Psalm 98 are for us this day, the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Before I begin my sermon today, just an acknowledgement to say thank you to our veterans. It's always a pleasure to recognize those who have served at some point in their life or who are currently serving. And I would just like to ask you to stand so that we can say collective thank you to you. Would you do that for us if you're a veteran? We're going to say thank you. Thank you. God bless you all, and God bless our country on this Veterans Day weekend. Friends, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, find acceptance in the sight of Almighty God, who is indeed our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, before I came to Raleigh some years ago now, I lived down east in the bustling metropolis of Tarboro, North Carolina. Tarboro was the hometown of the late Haywood Holderness, who was the last interim pastor before I started here over 11 years ago. It's also one of the colonial towns of North Carolina, the largest historic district in the state. The past there, for all its glories and shortcomings, is remembered by young and old alike. It's a town where what I call the Southern eccentric is still alive and well and thriving, even as I speak today. Part of moving to a town like Tarboro is you start to hear stories. Stories sort of populate everywhere you go. They kind of float on the air. I heard stories about people that had died long before I ever arrived there, but they sort of shaped the town and its eccentric Southern personality. Stories about people who bought a monkey for a pet and what happened when the monkey got out. Stories about peacocks cackling in the middle of the night in somebody's backyard and that waking the neighbors up and there being a dispute amongst people who had been friends their whole lives. Stories about someone who forgot to put their car into park. In small town, you always leave your car running when you go to the post office or the Piggly Wiggly, and what happened the day that the car drove itself down Main Street. Stories about old couples who got into a fight because one of them gave the other one a funeral plot for a Christmas present, and it was not appreciated. But a lot of these stories came with wisdom too. They weren't just funny or eccentric. There were wisdom stories as well. One of the best wisdom stories that I ever heard, I heard dozens of times during my 8 years there. And it was about someone who told her children and who told her community a leader, someone who was known to have a generous heart, that the point of life and the point of giving wasn't to give until it hurt. No, she told everyone, and this story was passed on, that the point of living and the point of giving was to give until it felt good. Giving, and that kind of thinking and wisdom, lifts the soul. It does the heart good. It's the best thing we can do with time and money to church, community, town, and neighbors. Now, I heard that story about what she taught her children and her friends dozens of times, and it always sticks with me every time that me and my family make a pledge or we give a contribution somewhere in this community. I think we've tried to in our family to take that lesson to heart. And it's a good reminder that all Christians should be givers. All of us, followers of God, should be sharers. All of us should be generous, because generosity honors God and it does the heart good. Today, of course, is Dedication Sunday. You've heard about that a little bit already this morning, and you'll hear about it more. And it's an important day in the life of our church. In a very practical way, and I do mean practical, we need all of you who are members or friends of this congregation to commit to helping our church fund its budget for next year. We at the church have the pressures that everybody else has: inflation, market uncertainties, etc. We have great hopes to fund our outreach budget to the fullest extent possible, to provide well for our staff, and to cover the expenses of our church campus. It's your generosity which allows us to give away more than $1 million every year into the community and around the world. It is your gifts which help us keep the lights on, allow us to hold funeral services and grief workshops, allow our pastors to support Bible studies and Sunday schools, enables us to give step-up space for offices and to have their vital work, allows us to visit people in hospitals and in homes of your fellow church members in times of need, helps us to provide space for our weekday school, our Sunday school, Alcoholics Anonymous, children, youth, and adult choirs, youth ministries, and spaces for dozens of other ministries and partners from around the city. Without your help and commitments, we can do none of this. And that is the practical reality of budgets and stewardship around here. But a church isn't just about the practical, is it? It's also a spiritual body. And in a spiritual and theological way, we hope that you will each consider your financial and time commitments to White Memorial in the months and year to come, and find ways to help support our efforts here. We have a robust theology of stewardship, and we ask you to prayerfully and joyfully consider your commitments as a response to faith in God and in order to support our church. When we give what we are called to give, it helps all of us to provide our grace-forward Christian witness to members and to the larger community of Raleigh and throughout the whole triangle. We thank God for the mantle of leadership in the regional Presbyterian church that we enjoy. We are an essential congregation for our city and in our denomination, but we need gifts of time, talent, and financial blessings to this ministry if it is to continue. Psalm 98, of course, is a psalm of praise. It's a 1,000-year-old piece of biblical truth and wisdom which calls the whole world and all of the people of the world to praise God joyfully. You should know that Psalm 98 is the basis of the hymn Joy to the World, which really wasn't written originally as a Christian hymn, a Christmas hymn, but that's when we sing it now. And it is among the most wonderful psalms we have. What is it? Well, it's a spiritual inspiration for a life of praise. And at the same time, it is a reminder that God is the source of all life, all goodness, all righteousness, and all justice that can be found upon the earth. It praises God for everything that God has given to us. And we read it today because its theology helps to set the foundation for our beliefs about how God provides and about how we are called to give back. Our readings from the book of James today build upon that foundation, reminding us that every perfect gift and every act of generosity is inspired by God. James calls God the Father of light. While it declares God's eternity, it reminds us that God gives us the word of truth so that we would listen to one another, be slow to anger, avoid wickedness, and finally to welcome the implanted word that has the power to save our souls. James chapter 1, verses 17 through 21 are a beautiful bit of scripture which remind us of God's great gifts of salvation and forgiveness. I wonder today, is there anything more generous than the gift of forgiveness? God's forgiveness? When someone else forgives us personally for something we've done wrong? You see, forgiving and forgiveness, being forgiven and offering it, are transactions of a generous spirit. Perhaps the forgiving heart of God is bested only by the saving heart of God. Our belief is that God has not left the world alone or to chance, but instead God has gotten involved in human history through the person of Jesus Christ. And our belief and trust is that Jesus offers us God's renewing and saving love. Is there anything more generous than the good news of salvation, of hope beyond death? I think it's the ultimate gift. I think it's God's ultimate act of generosity. And it is freely given to us by Jesus Christ. You see, there is much in the world today that wants us to cower in fear. But you see, it's the forgiving and saving heart of Jesus Christ, which God has given to us freely, that sets the model for human life as it should be. Jesus teaches us in the Gospels to live with courage, courage which is fueled by our trust with God, courage that calls us to be generous with our lives and our labor and with how we regard others. James 3 spells it out for us as plainly as it can, and it demands that we get busy, busy, busy practicing our faith in the world. It says, quote, "The wisdom from above is pure, peaceable, gentle, full of mercy, without a trace of partiality, and a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace." You see, I think it takes courage to pray and work for peace when there is so much conflict raging. It takes some fortitude to forgive other people. It takes some fortitude to hope in salvation when we are faced with death. It takes some fortitude to be gentle and full of mercy when so many around us will tell us that mercy and forgiveness are weaknesses. The Bible, though, sees them as strengths. The book of James sees them as strengths. And James wants us to put them into practice through our friendships, our service to others, and our involvement in our community of faith and our churches. The book of James can see them as strengths, you see, because they find their source in God, who is the ultimate source of strength. And for James, we are generous when we put the good news into tangible practice through our lives. So each gift, each person, each friendship, you see, that's what weaves a church together. Gifts of time, gifts of talent, gifts of resources and money, they define our church and shape our ministry. They help us to be courageous and hopeful in the world around us. You see, it is in giving that we are made whole. It is in giving that we are reminded that God is generous. And generosity is always good for the heart and the soul. God is generous through the good news of the gospel, through the hope of Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. The good news and generosity are always linked in the Bible, and living in the light of God's grace must be the foundation of our faith and our lives, in order that we might each of us learn how to give until it feels truly good. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, we offer these many things. May God bless you this day and always. Amen. Indeed, in the greater world, may each of us find the joy that only God can provide, that we might be led onward, even should strife fall in our path. Go in peace, friends, to love and serve the Lord, to love and serve one another, to love and serve neighbors near and far. Go in peace, friends, to live generous lives where you welcome others in order that they might hear your testimony about the great things God has done for all of us. Thanks be to God for this day, and may we be blessed until we meet again. Amen.